Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, praise the Lord, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I don't know about you, but they're just several scriptures that just get me excited, and that's one of them right there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Oh my, looky here, it's Thursday, this October the 23rd, 2014. How you doing? It's Joey, spending some time with you here. Yes, here we are, and of course, it is Thursday. This past week, hey, pretty busy week. I had a chance to go out of town for work-related stuff. I went to Western Illinois, and my, oh my, there's just nothing out there. Nothing but corn and soybeans and all that other stuff, fields and fields of produce and such. And I had a chance to stay at a hotel in Western Illinois this past week, and something interesting, I don't know if you've been noticing this as well. I've been noticing that hotels and motels no longer have Bibles, like the Gideon Bible within each hotel room. Have you been noticing this as well? This one hotel I stayed at, they had the Mormon Bible, but not the actual Word of God. So what I do in those cases is I actually call the front office and say, hey, can I get the Bible, please? You know, but I don't know about you, but I've been noticing that more and more, and it's, kind of alarming, to be honest with you. But I make sure, we make sure that we ask the front desk for the Bible just to kind of make some noise a little bit and let people know, hey, we miss our Bibles here. So, but yeah, we do need to be praying for our culture, our country, and just the society we live in. Amen. Because God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and we need to be sharing that name, the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, Fred, I pray you're doing well this week. It's been a crazy busy week for us and for me, but I'm looking forward to just kind of getting out of town this weekend. My wife and I are going to have just a nice weekend, just the two of us. We're heading down to St. Louis this weekend, turning off the phones. We got a sitter for the kids. We don't have to worry about any responsibilities. I love it. Praise the Lord. Hey, coming up next Friday, a week from tomorrow, our friends at the Gibson City Bible Church will be hosting their Hallelujah Party. Again, at the Gibson City Bible Church in Gibson City, they're going to have hot dogs, chili, and more from 5:30 to 6:30. Tons of free prizes, candy, face painting, a cakewalk, a bounce house, games, relays, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Gibson City Bible Church, located at 309 North State Route 47 in Gibson City, Illinois. If you want to get more details, just give them a call at 217-784-5702, 217-784-5702. Well, coming up here in a couple of moments, we're going to be talking about the meaning of life. Well, sort of. Does life have meaning without God? Have you ever struggled with or know others struggling with the question of God's existence and our purpose in this world? Well, we're going to be talking about, does life have meaning without God? From the book of Ecclesiastes, coming up next right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. A couple of years ago, a British Humanist Society ran a bus advertising campaign giving a reassuring, quote-unquote, message, saying there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And the ad campaign was part of a project designed to brighten up the image of atheism, which traditionally has a gloomy feel of atheists. But more than merely creating a gloomy disposition, the atheistic view of the universe was kind of depressing. Hopelessness. Their view is life is meaningless, and though atheists can live as though life has meaning, there really is no source of meaning in their view. See, apart from God, there is no justice. Apart from God, there is no justice. So if you have your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. King Solomon was considered to be one of the wisest men in all of history. And because of his great wisdom, Solomon knew that apart from God, all human wisdom and effort is meaningless. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 16 to 20, it says, "And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them, so that they may see they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return." See, without justice from God, mankind's actions can't be considered as better or worse than those of the beast, as we just read. Solomon's reasoning for this conclusion was because in the end, we all go to the same end, death and the end of our existence, in verse 20, as we just read. See, if God ultimately judges human beings, it means that humans are the sort of being that is worthy of being judged. I mean, do you see? The idea of judgment assumes that people are responsible and important, that their actions have real consequences. Like in our society, we reflect that idea through the court system. People are brought to trial because it is assumed that they are capable of responsibility for their actions. Therefore, they are judged accordingly. The absence of God's judgment upon mankind would suggest that we are not responsible beings, no more responsible than the animals. We can murder, we can nurture and love, but in the end, nothing would be of any consequence. Solomon described the situation that would follow as absolute futility. All life becomes meaningless. See, if there is no judgment for humanity, then human life is of no consequence. And furthermore, human life has no meaning. Isn't that just a sad, depressing thought? This is the view of those who have the atheistic view. Everything is meaningless. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." For many people, the idea that our lives makes no difference whatsoever can result in hopelessness and despair. Think about that. If everything is meaningless under the sun, as Solomon wrote about those who didn't have a belief in there that there was a God, then our life has no meaning. Also, apart from God, listen to this, there is no good or evil. If you have your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Solomon wrote, "Again, I looked and saw the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun." You know, friend, removing God as the creator not only removes ultimate meaning and purpose, but it also entails removal of the grounding for what we call evil. See, evil becomes just a part of everything under the sun. However, evil is something we all comprehend and experience. Solomon looked, as we just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he examined the oppressed. He noted that there was none to comfort them in their oppression. If there is no comforter, the oppressed suffer, and that's just the way things are. Again, here Solomon finds injustice under the sun. Those with power abuse their positioning, causing pain, and those they oppress. Solomon's final conclusion was that it would be better never to exist in a world without God due to the amount of evil and suffering under the sun. C.S. Lewis actually used to be an atheist before he found Jesus Christ and called him his Lord and Savior. C.S. Lewis once was an atheist who actually believed that the universe was cruel and unjust. But over time, he realized that the existence of good and evil was pointing toward God, not away from God. He said, "How did I get this idea of just and unjust? Listen to this. A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line." Did you get that? Let me say that again. He said, "A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line." And he goes on to say, "What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust?" So apart from God, there is no justice. Apart from God, there is no good or evil. And number three, Christ's resurrection gives us meaning and a mission. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:12-19, he says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." You know, one of the most important ways God has communicated that human life has meaning, value, and purpose was through the work of Jesus in his death and his resurrection. See, in the Christian view, God does exist, and man's life does not end at the grave. Praise the Lord. In the passage we just wrote, Paul emphasized the connection between an actual resurrection, faith in God, and forgiveness of sin. He began by saying that if there were no actual resurrection of the dead, then the faith we've placed in Jesus is useless, vain, and without foundation. Remember Solomon's finding on the meaning of life that if there was no God, he found all to be in vain, absolute futility. And in a similar thought, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then our hope in Jesus is just absolute futility, meaningless, pointless. See, this is the reality we must face in a universe void of a Savior. No possibility of redemption. If there is no Savior, as atheists believe, then there's no possibility of redemption. See, without the resurrection of Jesus as an actual event of history, we have no redeemer for our sins. There is no place to ground real redemption. The source of the redemption that is possible is found in the historical resurrection of Jesus. Paul writes, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." 1 Corinthians 15:20. How does the resurrection of Jesus provide for our salvation, our redemption, and our second chance? Through the defeat of death. Praise the Lord. That is a crucial point in handling the problem of meaning, value, and purpose in human lives. See, in the atheistic view of the universe, death comes equally to all. Just as we all enter the world without purpose and meaning, we all end without purpose and meaning. death is simply the end of me. That's the viewpoint. I have no reward or punishment, no consequences. I do whatever I will, and then I die. But praise the Lord, in the Christian view, death is an enemy because it is a result of evil. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Death is the consequence of our sin. Yet for our sin to have a consequence, though, it has to have meaning. For our sin to have meaning, it must come from creatures who are infused with meaning. Jesus' death to pay the wages of sin is evidence that our sin has a consequence. Did you get that today? See, Jesus' death to pay the wages of sin is evidence that our sin has a consequence, and therefore our lives have meaning. Did you get that? His resurrection, defeating the enemy of death, is evidence that our lives are valuable and worth redeeming. Jesus wasn't just up in heaven, sitting down, twiddling his thumbs. What am I going to do today? I am bored. The Chicago Bears are losing, so let me turn this off. I have nothing else better to do. No, he came down. God sent him down for you and me because he loves you and me so much. He didn't want to be separated from us. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved you that he sent his one and only son. Jesus' death to pay the wages of sin is evidence that our sin has a consequence and therefore our lives have meaning. His resurrection, defeating the enemy of death, is evidence, friend, that our lives are valuable and worth redeeming. Yet if all is meaningless, nothing has meaning, neither our sin nor our lives. Instead of leaving us to our fate of death and destruction, instead of declaring us a cosmic orphan, God redeems his good creation because it has value. This is not value that can be obtained by accident arising out of a purposeless universe. Being the creation of God means that you and I were intentionally made. You and I, we have purpose.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
In the void of the night,
our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom, and mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
That's right, you're listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. Friend, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, And you are the hands and feet of Jesus, who is our awesome God.
Our God.